I want to have you open with me to the book of Isaiah, the very first chapter of Isaiah, as we read the word of the Lord together. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. I'm going to kind of do a couple things. I'm going to do a word study with you this morning a little bit, but I also want to point out the fact that we are living in a very, very strange time in America. I would tell you to go home and listen to the Sunday school lesson on the net, because that was my pre-word to what I want to share with you, but it didn't work, so you can't. What's going on as a result of a Supreme Court ruling? Keep in mind, that's all it is. It is not a law. It cannot be a law because the Supreme Court is not a lawmaking body. There is an old phrase of somebody who acts like they're in authority, but they are not. They call it being a pretender to the throne. They pretend to be in authority because they have simply taken that position, when all of the law, everything else, states that they are not. And so when the Supreme Court of the United States agreed to hear the appeal of a couple of women concerning whether or not they should be allowed to be married, they took that in and they gave a ruling. Now, Judge Roy Bean used to say, that's my ruling. And in Judge Roy Bean's case, if Judge Roy Bean gave a ruling, that was the law in that territory. And if you didn't obey his law, he shot you. Or hanged you, one or the other. The Supreme Court of the United States, and I always, when I write my letters to the editor or when I write to the whoever I write to, I always put the word supreme in quotes, because they are not supreme, only God is supreme. And when they gave this ruling, of course, it affected some people in our country. And one of the people infected was a county clerk down in Kentucky whose name was Kim Davis. And Kim took a position of simply saying, look, if you want to get somebody else to sign these things, okay, but I can't, because it violates my conscience on the one hand, and it's a clear violation of the law of God on the other hand. And I would go a little farther to say, to indicate that there is something called, quote, gay, end quote, marriage is a lie, because no such thing exists. And we have already taken a position on that for our Constitution and for our denomination, where we claim that we tell what we recognize as marriage. The result of Kim's stand has brought a firestorm of response to her. And it has not been a very positive response for a lot of the people in the news media, and a lot of the people who write articles. I'm going to share, this is Cal Thomas. Cal Thomas boasts of his Christianity. And Cal Thomas has written something that I want to share with you to illustrate. I have a little question about what type of Christianity he has. Also, a political cartoon that appeared in the Tribune. I don't know if you saw this one. I can't show it to you very well from here, but I'm going to tell you what's in it. When we read in Isaiah chapter 1, there is one little statement that's made right down in the fifth verse where he says this, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." The head being sick means it is absent of wisdom, and to be absent of wisdom means it is absent the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is also absent of true knowledge, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. So it is my position that if it is non-biblical, if it is not in agreement with the Word of God, it is not true knowledge. It is knowledge supplied by some other source in order to challenge the Word of God. And this is where we're living. So Cal, in his article, I'm not going to read the entire thing. I just want to read a couple of things he says, which are not true. He said, let's get something straight. America has never been a Christian nation. Those who believe otherwise have an obligation to say what part of our history was uniquely Christian. Was it when slavery was legal? How about when women were denied the vote? The Gilded Age? The Roaring Twenties? America is a nation in which Christians and every other religious and non-religious person have the right to practice their beliefs in private and public, free of government intrusion. Now, he's going to attack Kim Davis here in a little bit. But his opening comment belies his position in reality. If it is true that a person of any belief has the right to public and private expression, which we're told in the First Amendment, you have the right to, which we're told in the Declaration of Independence, that right was given to you by Almighty God, that you have the right to practice your belief in private and public, then she has the right as an officer of government to practice her belief and to make that clear in her statement without going to jail. As he writes on down through this, he writes some other things, and what he's trying to do, he is trying to strike some kind of a balance where he can be a Christian and at the same time allow for these other people to do whatever they want to do. And he says, he accuses us. This is his accusation. He accuses those who hold to a biblical perspective of life of consistently trying to force their way on other people, and I say he is right. And he is right because we are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. Before he departed this earth, one of the last things he said to the disciples was they were to go into all nations and they were to teach, and they were to make disciples, and they were then to teach the people to keep the commandments that Christ had given. It doesn't make any difference if you are trying to give the gospel of Jesus Christ and the law of God, or if you are an atheist trying to give evolution or some other thing. Both parties are assigned the obligation of forcing their view on the other party. There is no, you know what, I'm going to lay this out here, and if you want to accept it, it's okay, and if you don't, it's okay, as though there is no ending result. If a person does not come to faith in Jesus Christ so that they are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, first of all, they are totally void of any ability whatsoever to understand anything about God. We are told that in the scripture, I shared this in Sunday school, that Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said simply this, natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, and the reason he cannot receive them is because they are foolishness to him. If the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness, He is shut out from the ability of receiving them. We likewise have the obligation to still tell them whether or not they can receive it, and are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to open that understanding, so that at some point there comes a confession of faith, a repentance of their atheism, a turning to Jesus Christ, a commitment to the Word of God, a determination to walk in it and to glorify the Lord by doing it. So we are at war. I suspect if you went into the inner office in there, got into that box of audio tapes, pulled out the audio tapes, even some of the radio tapes, and I think there even might be some of those over here, when we were on the radio, you will hear me say on numerous occasions, we are at war. We are not living in a world of friendly friends. We are living in a world of ideas and implications that are 100% committed to the destruction of the gospel of Jesus Christ and its effect. So when he says here that the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint, the head is without proper wisdom and proper knowledge. The heart is without courage. Now, when he gets down to this point, listen to what he says. Kim Davis chose the wrong issue for her, quote, martyrdom, end quote. Kim Davis did not choose the issue. First of all, the issue was thrust upon her by these people, five in number, five people in a nation of over 300 million, who decided their religion compelled them to give a ruling which went 100% against all of the teachings of the Word of God concerning the homosexual movement and its people. Five people in a nation of over 300 million said not only to the court where these women filed their initial complaint, but to the entire United States of America, you have to do what we're telling you in relation to this, quote, gay marriage, end quote. They thrust it upon Kim. Kim was a Christian before the ruling. Kim's position was held firmly before the ruling. This, if you want to use the language of law, if this could even be a law, it would be called an ex post facto law. Ex post facto means that where you had a law, somebody made a change later in time, either to change the penalty or something, and it can have no effect upon the law that you took your oath under. So when Kim Davis took her oath of office, this ruling had not been given. She never took an oath to support this ruling. She cannot lawfully be therefore held to account, but he says she chose the wrong issue for her martyrdom. Now listen to this. AmazingBible.org lists more than 600 sins mentioned in the Bible, including adultery, fornication, divorce, and lying. If Davis wants to be consistent, she would refuse a marriage license for anyone who has sinned. In other words, nobody could get a marriage license. If she were consistent, what does the one have to do with the other? She is specific. Now, and she didn't even say they can't get it. She said, I can't sign it. So Kim is put into this position, and in this position, she has firmly stood and said, this is a violation of my conscience. It is a violation of my God-given right and duty as a Christian, and I cannot change. And when she come out, when they let her out of jail, the judge said, well, I hope she changes her mind, and her lawyer said it isn't going to happen. This is a political cartoon that appeared in the Warren Tribune Chronicle, and I think this was either yesterday or Friday. And it is a drawing of a representation of Kim Davis, and there she has two badges on the front of her. One is her name, Kim Davis. The other says, self-righteous fraud. Self-righteous fraud. And she is saying, free to bash, Thank God Almighty, I'm free to bash. Next to her, there's a person standing with a sign that says, Bigots Unite. Next to her, there is a, I don't know whether that's supposed to be a man, or, well, he's got a mustache, but wearing a dress, says, Gay Bashers for God. This one has on a dress with a sign on the front that says, Hate is Great. This one says, Civil Rights Can Burn in Hades. And down here, it says, Homophobes Are Us. This is what Kim is enduring. This is what's happening to Kim because she has taken a stand, which she said her stand is on the Word of God and a violation of her conscience. And when I read in the book of Ephesians tells us we are to stand. The whole head is sick. Bruce Jenner demonstrated one of the highest levels of foolishness or insanity when he decided to make people know that he, being a man, identifies as a woman. And identifying as a woman, he is now going about all of this stuff he's going about, and he's doing it very publicly, and so he was given a courage award. The courage award he was given to him in the name of Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe was a very, very, very good tennis player. He also was a homosexual. So he was given the courage award in the name of homosexuality. So the homosexual is giving this homosexual an award, and it is greatly publicized, and as though it is something great, and there are no political cartoons that come about with the degree of viciousness that this political cartoon demonstrates towards a woman who has determined to stand for Christ. Nor does Cal Thomas write an article at that time in which he deals with this, going into the type of attack he makes against Kim. You need to understand something, folks. As I said, we are at war, and this war is a vicious war. And Jesus Christ told the disciples that this is what would happen. He said, you're going to be hated of all men for my sake. It's going to be because of Christ. Christianity has two sides to it. One side of Christianity is the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in which we say to people, here's how you can be saved. Here's how you can be delivered into the righteousness of Christ. Here's how you can enjoy the blessing of the Lord, etc. The other side says, if you reject this, you go to hell. It is a very harsh part of the gospel. And so as the church proclaims the gospel in its fullness, that both of those elements come out. And as a result, the church is compelled by Almighty God not just to talk about sin, but to identify it. So that as sin is identified, people, under the impression of the Holy Spirit in their own personal life, sense their own sin. They are doing something that clearly violates the commandments of God. And they are brought to that attention by the Holy Spirit and that conviction of the Holy Spirit, which then enables them to do two things. Number one, to see Jesus Christ as their sin bearer. And number two, to understand there is a judgment at the end. And in their case, if they are in Christ, the judgment can be summed up in the words of Christ when he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The judgment to those who are not in Christ can be summed up by saying, cast them into outer darkness, that they are now cast into the eternal judgment of God. Now, Isaiah, in this first chapter, Isaiah, if you will take the time to read it, you will be, and you list it, and you mark it, and then you read Isaiah chapter 1 and compare it to the day in which you're living, you will see that what he said to Israel in this time is very applicable to the people of today. In the fourth verse, he starts by saying, alas, sinful nation, a people loaded with iniquity. The word iniquity means lawlessness. What law? The law of God. The word iniquity is lawlessness. So we say, well, what in the world is going on here in our nation? Oh, didn't God say something about that somewhere? Yeah, in the latter days, these perilous times will come. And he gets into all of this elaboration of what's happening. Now, I said I'm going to do a word study, so I'm going to take my words from the 1828 Webster, and taking them from the 1828 Webster, it might surprise you a little bit about what he has to say in light of this political cartoon. First of all, I said that Bruce Jenner was given a courage award. Who's going to give Kim a courage award? Nobody's going to give Kim a courage award the way Bruce Jenner got it, or if she does, the way it looks from here, the world is going to slam it as some kind of, not a courage award, but an award to somebody who is a bigot. So I looked up the word courage, and the word courage says this: bravery, that quality of mind which enables men to encounter dangers and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits. They're able to encounter danger or difficulty with firmness. Now, here, we are in a position somewhat similar, although we have not had the immediate reaction of the news media or of the state that Kim has had, in that every year, and I haven't sent it yet, but it will go shortly, every year I must send a letter to the state of Ohio that I send to the parents of the academy explaining that we are a non-chartered, non-tax-supported Christian school. A non-chartered, non-tax-supported Christian school can only exist on the grounds of a truly held religious belief. There is no other ground for a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school. It has to be truly held religious belief. Now, they don't specify what truly held religious belief. So I suppose you could have a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school if you were a devout atheist. And you expressed your atheism, and on the grounds of your atheism, you didn't want to be chartered by the state or anything, you could, I suppose. But since we take that position on the grounds of truly held religious belief, what I do every year is I write the letter to the state, and I state, not everything, of course, but I state truly held religious belief, among which is, if the Church of Jesus Christ is put under the sovereignty of the state, you engage in idolatry. And the Church of Jesus Christ is forbidden by the commandment of God to engage in any form of idolatry. You cannot have any power superior to Christ. The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the head and sole head of the church. It is God alone, through the work of the Holy Spirit, who calls the people into the church, assigns them their duties in the church, determines what the church is to teach. So when you establish, this would be true of a homeschool, this would be true of an academy, it doesn't make any difference. When you identify yourself as a Christian, you, as Kim has done, you immediately identify yourself as being subject to Jesus Christ as your sole head. That means that you are now going to engage in sola scriptura. You are going to search the scriptures. You are going to then apply those scriptures to what you're doing. And your purpose is one, soli Deo gloria, the glory of God. So we have been now for many, 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 many years taking that position. To this point, every year they simply send me a letter saying your letter has been received. You're now approved by the state to conduct this academy as a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school based upon your truly held religious belief, which, of course, as I said, I don't get into everything. So do you express courage in some fashion? Children, Billy, Hannah, the Marino children, Jacob Hall, are going to be given the opportunity and probably have already been given the opportunity at some place, at some time, to express courage. That's this quality of mind which enables them to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness, by some family member, by some neighbor, by somebody, inviting them to do something, encouraging something, saying something that they would have to reject on the grounds that it violates the Scripture of God. And if they do that, they invite upon themselves a reaction. Somebody once said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So when they take the action, you're inviting the reaction. The reaction of the state of Ohio so far, as I said, has been, okay, we got your letter, all right, you're good for another year, and that's been the, but I don't know if they throw ours in a round file, I don't know what they do except to mark it. Well, what is a bigot? Because they said that they said that Kim is a bigot. Listen to what Webster says. This is really interesting. A person who is obstinately and unreasonably wedded to a particular religious creed, opinion, practice, or ritual. A person who is obstinately and unreasonably wedded to a particular religious creed. In the Humanist Manifesto 2, they say, if you believe there is a God, if you believe that God hears prayer, if you believe that God can actually answer prayer, you are irrational, unreasonable. You are maybe insane. If you actually believe there is a God, that God can hear your prayer, that God can answer your prayer, well, what do you teach your children? So he said this is a person who is obstinately and unreasonably wedded to a particular religious creed, and the word obstinate means stubborn, or he uses a big word, pertinaciously adhering, and that simply means that they are resolute, they're firm, and that's what we're seeing in Kim. That's what we saw in Stephen when Stephen stood out and the guys were standing around with a throne, with the stones, and Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts is giving them this account and going over to the 8th where Paul is standing there holding their coats, and Stephen is standing there looking them square in the eye and giving them their history, and he ends up getting stoned to death. That's what Jesus Christ did when he stood before the leaders of Israel and they said, tell us plainly, are you the Son of God? And his response in the scripture that we read says, you said it. In other words, yes, that's correct. He resolutely stood firmly, and in their mind, he was being unreasonable. He was being stubbornly attached to an idea that they wanted to separate him from, and they couldn't separate him from. So their only response they had was to say, crucify him. Put him to death. The word unreasonable means not agreeable to reason. So if over here there is this sinful person who is trying to persuade you to accept their position, and you're standing on the scripture and you're saying, I can't accept it because it is non-biblical. It violates the scripture. They are going to respond and say, you're being unreasonable. You are not. Listen, we need to get away from that. You Christians need to quit being so stubborn. You Christians need to stop insisting upon the way of the Lord. You Christians need to start back. Why don't they say the same thing to the other side? How is it that these two women who took a case all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States are not obstinate? How is it that these people who were in the room screaming at Kim and calling her these names are not unreasonable? How is it that a person who would put a political cartoon like this, which says gay bashers for God, hate is great, how are they not unreasonable? How are they not obstinate? They're standing on their ground. When the serpent said to Eve, listen, you eat the fruit. And Eve says, well, here's the deal, man. We eat the fruit, we die. And the serpent says, to use more modern language, that's a lot of hogwash. I'm going to tell you that if you eat the fruit, you're going to become like God. Was the serpent very obstinate? Was the serpent unreasonable? Was the serpent moving in the way where he was firmly committed to what he was doing? He was, Eve wasn't. Adam wasn't. What's the result? We're trying to teach the children in the school through little Bible stories and through a history book I wrote, cause and effect. Something happens, makes something else happen. All right? Now, we don't know what the result of this is finally going to be, but the result of this woman taking a firm stand in the way she has taken the firm stand, who knows, could turn out to be one of those triggers God has that causes the church to finally say, enough is enough. Okay, you people have been getting away with murder. We're going to stand up in your face, and we're going to tell you what's right, and we're going to tell you what's wrong, and we're going to force our way. Oh, you can't force your way on someone. Well, I understand that. The Holy Spirit can, though. The Holy Spirit took this stupid old atheist who said there was no such thing as a God, who denied the existence of Jesus Christ, who hated the Scripture, who hated anybody who said there was a God or a Christian. God, the Holy Spirit, took me and that quick changed my thinking concerning whether there was a God, and then set out on a process of about a year's time of taking the Word of God and putting it into me, and then a couple more years of, we'll call, refining as he was teaching me and bringing me to the position where I was beginning to stand on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit did it, and I was just as far away from God as you can get. Came close to dying, had blood poisoning. The doctor was treating me for athlete's foot when I really had blood poisoning. And when we finally decided to go to a different doctor, he said to me, Jim, if you'd have waited one more week, you'd have been dead. It didn't faze me. In my atheism, I thought, okay, I'd have been dead. Stick my body in the ground, it's all over. My mother, even though it was a could have happened, my mother almost went nuts. My son, oh, could have died in a week. Mom, I didn't. Maybe that was a problem. When you get to the book of Hebrews, and with this, I'll bring this to a close. I can't take time to do it all. But I want to read something to you from the book of Hebrews. Jesus, in answering the question concerning the commandments, said that the first commandment was, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. When I get over to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which has been called the faith chapter, and we start off and we go through the first part of this chapter, we're seeing all these enormous victories. God moved and the walls of Jericho came down. God moved and the waters parted. I mean, just all kinds of things that happened. And then all of a sudden, when he comes to the end of that, I'm going to read the end, starting in the 34th verse. I'm going to read the last part of the triumphant. 11:34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and now all of a sudden it changes. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise of God, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All of those people that I read in that last part would have been called by this crowd obstinate. They were obstinate in their faith. Obstinate. They were unreasonable. They were bigots. Well, I guess you have to make up your mind whether you're willing to endure that. What price? Do you ever hear that? What price glory? Jesus said, come on, give me your life. I'll take it. I'll use it. I won't guarantee what's going to come to you. I've got that laid out. But we have the high honor of knowing that at the end of it, when we have given our life that way, and God, whatever he does, brings us to glory. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Listen, Kim might endure some harshness, but by God's grace, her standing on the word and her standing to the end, she's going to hear the well done. I don't know what heaven is like. The Bible says no man has seen, no man has heard. We have no clue what God has in store for those who love him. And so none of us know exactly what it's going to be like. I have an idea, my own idea. And I think he could go as far as being in heaven for eternity and just walking around saying, holy, 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 holy. Because once we get into the presence of God, in reality, the presence of God, ain't going to be like we think about God now. Sometimes we think about God now just like another person, another man, another woman. Once we finally come into his presence, that's going to be astounding. And we have the high honor of, as we read that creed this morning and read what we said we believe, okay, we have the high honor of being allowed by God to stand in it to the point he calls us to our judgment. And my prayer is that at that point, all of us will be there singing and celebrating the goodness of God. Father, I thank you this morning.